From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, August 8th. Coming up, we'll learn more about Don Mullally and how he helped NPR during a financial crisis. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Republican State Representative Mike Marin is hosting an event for Rantoul residents to find out more about the resources within their community. Illinois Newsroom's May Antar has more.
The Family Resource Fair features information about job training, mental health programs, and other services. Representative Marin says the event is important for several reasons.
You have people learn about the programs that exist. You can also, that's an opportunity to learn where maybe the programs are falling short, right?
24 different organizations will be on hand to educate residents on what's available. The fair starts at 5:30 at the Rantoul Family Sports Complex. Admission is free. I'm May Antar, Illinois Newsroom.
More than 47,000 Illinois residents have been kicked off their Medicaid plans as of August 1st, with more expected to be dropped in the coming months. Mawa Iqbal has more.
State data shows a majority of those people didn't turn in their eligibility forms on time. The federal government stopped requiring recipients to prove eligibility during the pandemic. Now that requirement is back, and groups like the Illinois Association of Medicaid Health Plans are trying to get the word out. CEO Samantha Olds Fry says they're waiting on state data breaking down the drop recipients by demographics.
What's driving the percentage of members that aren't returning paperwork? And that's a gap I think we all agree we can close and can do better on.
Drop recipients can still enroll in the Affordable Care Act. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Lawyers for people with mental illness in Illinois prisons say their clients are in danger. They are asking a federal judge to step in and take swift action. Shannon Heffernan reports.
Amanda Antolt is a civil rights lawyer with Equip for Equality. In a court filing, she wrote that people are being kept in appalling conditions at the Northern Reception Center prison, about an hour and a half outside Chicago. The center is meant to only be a temporary place to house people while the state determines their final placement. But Antolt alleges people with mental illness are left there for long stretches, and people are kept in filthy cells, sometimes smelling of feces, for 23 to 24 hours a day. Experts who toured the facilities called the conditions alarming and disturbing. Antolt and other civil rights lawyers are asking for their clients to be moved to facilities where they can access better treatment. The Illinois Department of Corrections did not respond with a comment. Shannon Heffernan, WBEZ News.
New parents in Illinois can now get seed money from the state to start saving for their child's college education. Lisa Phillip reports.
Illinois residents who have given birth or adopted a child since the first of this year are eligible to get $50 deposited into a 529 account. Those accounts allow parents to grow college savings free from income tax. But first, they have to open a 529 account. The state treasurer is administering the new program and hopes the $50 will incentivize new parents, especially those with fewer resources, to do so. Researchers have found that parents who stow away any amount in college savings are more likely to see their children attend college. For more information on applying, parents can visit brightstart.com. Lisa Phillip, WBEZ News.
Still to come, we'll learn more about Don Mullally and how he helped NPR during a financial crisis. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
For millennia, one species has transformed our planet and determined the future of every other. As Earth's most advanced and at times most destructive species, humankind has an outsized impact on the world and the future of its inhabitants. Join biologist Shane Campbell-Staton as he explores our impact on the planet and every form of life it supports. Friends of WILL can watch this and other great science shows like Nature and Nova with WILL Passport. Find out more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 40 years ago this summer, NPR was facing a financial crisis and was in danger of shutting down. It survived with the help of its board chairman at the time, Don Mullally, who was also the general manager of WILL Radio and TV. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows takes us back.
Some of you, at least, are familiar with the problems that NPR went through.
That's WYLL's Don Mullally at a public radio conference in 2002, talking to fellow station managers about the financial crisis that nearly shut down National Public Radio.
And when I became the chairman under those circumstances, we were within 24 hours of pulling the plug.
It happened in 1983 when Mullally was in his second decade at WYLL and serving a term on the board of NPR. Then, as now, public radio station managers held the majority of seats on the network's governing body. They had hired NPR's president, Frank Mankiewicz, who had led the network through a period of growth.
I'm Bob Edwards. Today is Monday, September 13th, and this is NPR's Morning Edition.
The launching of Morning Edition in 1979 is Mankiewicz's most enduring legacy. But in the spring of 1983, NPR under Mankiewicz was seriously in the red. In just a few months, a deficit had ballooned to more than $9 million, dwarfing the network's programming budget.
The place could have gone out of business.
That's public radio historian Jack Mitchell, who at the time was another NPR board member from WHA in Madison, Wisconsin.
It was bankrupt, essentially, and would have closed if CPB and the stations hadn't come to the rescue.
CPB is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the organization set up by Congress to distribute federal funding to public broadcasters. In 1983, they provided most of NPR's funding. Now, NPR was saying its funding deficit was so big, it couldn't even cover routine office supplies.
And I wanted to have some things written down for the board to look at and discuss. But there was no copy paper and no money to buy copy paper. Fortunately, we were located across the street from CBS, and the secretaries went across the street and borrowed copy paper from CBS so our board could look at the numbers.
NPR's survival depended on the CPB granting it an emergency loan, which would be guaranteed by local public radio stations. Mullally, by now NPR's board chairman, worked on selling that idea to local station managers like Patty Cahill, then in charge of KCUR in Kansas City.
He was in control. I felt as though Don knew what was going on and how to solve it. I didn't know how he was going to do that, but he reassured us, I think, what needed to be done, and then he did some of it.
NPR and CPB reached agreement on the emergency loan on July 28th of 1983. Under its terms, the network staff was cut by one-third, but the organization survived. Meanwhile, Jack Mitchell notes that Mullally pushed for another big change at NPR, an end to its direct funding by the CPB.
Instead of sending money every month to NPR, they sent money once a year to every station. Then Mullally was chairman of the board during that and essentially led the discussion that led to the change.
Now that the CPB money was going to them, local public radio stations could spend it with NPR or turn to other program sources. Mullally said this changed the stations from passive customers of the network to true partners, sharing both benefits and risks.
Who trust each other and who are willing to be honest with each other and who in the long run recognize their common duty and common purpose.
When he died in 2015, an obituary from NPR lauded Don Mullally's vision of a symbiotic relationship between the network and its local stations, as well as his work to keep NPR financially stable. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly sunny with a slight chance of a thunderstorm late in the day and a high of 82 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting for today contributed by May Antar, Mawa Iqbal, Shannon Heffernan, Lisa Phillip, and Jim Meadows. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.